Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're live on a pain-free Friday in New York City on CBS Sports Radio in the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies. Simply understand fully. Mortgage confidently. This game preview is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. The B-Dub Sauce Lab is proud to present their newest sauce, Thai Ginger. Only at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports, available for a limited time while supplies last. Well, here we go. Jags and Pats on Sunday afternoon, the first game. And then the nightcap, Vikings at Eagles. It's simple. The Jags had better stop Tom Brady or they're going to get lit up. It really is all about the Jags defense. No one thinks Bortles can do that. What they did to Pittsburgh against New England, I actually think New England's defense is about as average as Pittsburgh's was on Sunday at Heinz Field. Their bend-don't-break defense is not the reason they win, if you ask me. And then the Vikings, frankly, I think they're lucky they're in this game. That play that everybody's giving them credit for, which was, you know, memorable and fantastic and one for the ages, no doubt about it. But Drew Brees marched down that field and took the lead in that game, and they blew it. The Saints blew that game. They had that game won, and one play screwed them. Vikings got lucky to be in this game, if you ask me, and the Eagles actually earned it by beating the Falcons, a team that everybody said it was automatic they were going to beat Philly in the link in Philadelphia. So here we go again. The Eagles are dogs at home, and the Pats, where it opened at around 9.5, 10, is now down to 7 in some houses, 7.5 in others in Vegas. Let's get it on Sunday afternoon. Game previews brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. Check out their Sauce Lab new sauce, Thai Ginger. A limited time it's available while supplies last. Carver High wants to go there and eat massive amounts of wings.
No.
No? I love that place. They're fantastic.
It's great. I love that place, too.
Mafia. Oh, just that's right. You're on a diet. Calisthenics.
I love the place, believe me.
So you're excited for Las Vegas. A week from tonight, you'll be headed home to the Ferrella Palatial and your good friend Boston.
Can't wait.
Boston will be all over you.
Probably.
I mean, it's just automatic. It's just like a five-minute just complete overtaking, and then he lightens up after that. Once you're in and settled in, he'll leave you alone. For the most part, and then it'll start bothering me again.
Well, last time we only had like an hour or an hour and a half, and then we were out of there. This time we've got some time before we have to head to the.
You got the overnight, and we leave at noon.
Yes.
Are you really going to play basketball?
I'm willing to. If I can, I will.
There you go. You need to bring an extra pair of like basketball clothes and skivvies and socks and shorts and a shirt. And then what you'll do is just leave that at my house after you play. I'll clean that, and then I'll bring it back to you when you get back to from Vegas because you don't want to bring your stinky basketball clothes
I'm
with
not
you.
Bringing that with me.
You just leave it with mine, and she'll wash it for us, and then I'll give you back your stuff. It'll be a big showing for Carver High next week, Mafia, if he shows up on Saturday to play ball. The notorious Carver High finally hitting the hardwood.
It'll be great to see. It'll be one in the long line of producers to come out and play ball.
There's been several that have attempted to come out and try to show their wares.
Yes. Some have had success, some have definitely not.
Some have not. That has not gone well for some. But I'm glad he's going to give it a whirl. And he's already promised violence, which I support wholly. 855-212-4227 is CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. You need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all at geico.com. Pat in Tucson, we were talking to him about the morphine in Roy Halladay's system. He was telling me stories. He was basically, I don't know, you still are a cop? What's the story?
No, I retired after 25 years, Scotty.
All right.
But the last 5 years have been the hardest years of my life. And
why is that?
The therapist, what they tell us is there's three things that are the hardest for people to get over. Power, fame, and risk of death. And you gotta realize he had one of the big, you know, with fame. That's why a lot of your military guys that have all this risk of death and also taken away. Like I said, I had a friend who retired. He was a motorcycle officer.
Right.
He was the MAD officer of the year, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And he went on a high-speed chase about 2 years ago. He ran over to three counties. And his wife said he had been doing heroin. What I think with Doc just missed that fame. So he was just doing other things.
All right. So go back to your friend. So your friend was this... guy that, and he ended up, you're telling me, going on a high-speed chase where they were actually, chasing him, and he was high?
On his motorcycle, yes. And they found a bunch of morphine and heroin in his system.
And what was going on there? I bet none of you knew he was doing H and morphine.
Well, some of my friends that I've talked to that retired with him, they said that this is very common with us, what we go through, like, they were good cops. They weren't dirty. They weren't bad guys. But all of a sudden, that power's taken, and it's not replenished. If you don't find a hobby, you're going to be doing loops in your airplane like Doc was.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. Like, so you're telling me, fair enough, I get it. There's depression, there's drug use, there's drinking, that's taken out of your life, so it has to be replaced with something. So maybe taking risks would be more palatable for me to absorb. Carver High?
Yeah, and the morphine thing, like, I know we're all, you know, they mentioned heroin in there. Look, I don't think, there's a lot of things that morphine could be in. I mean, isn't it an oxycodone, too? I mean, none of us are doctors here. Let's put that
out
there.
I'm a doctor on General Hospital weekdays and three.
Isn't it an oxycodone, painkillers? I mean, those things have morphine in them. He could have been taking something for pain or something. Now, he shouldn't have been flying, no question about that. But I'm just saying
he was on Ambien too, which makes you sleep.
I don't think that we could jump, you know, to the heroin thing. He could have been taking painkillers. He could have been taking.
But he was on. He had amphetamines, which are uppers, and then he was taking Ambien, which is a sleeping pill. And then, as you know, you take one of those, you pass out, and then, morphine on top of it. I mean, you're downtown, son. That's down city. Plus, you're mixing it with an upper. I mean, that's a bad recipe, Pat. You know that as a cop. You can't mix those things.
Yeah, no doc in his right mind is going to order you amphetamines and have Ambien. It just doesn't make sense.
Right. One makes you go to bed. The other one keeps you up all day.
Yeah.
So right, that's sad. Right. So you now, 5 years after retiring, how are you doing? Oh, that not well, apparently. Hung up on me. All right, here we go. So let's go to Reggie in Alabama. You're on CBS Sports Radio. Are you a doctor, Reggie?
Yes, sir, I am. Glad to be calling in, guys. I really enjoy the show, but I do have, I'm not going to say I'm a subject matter expert, but I do have some clarification about some of the issues that you guys are talking about.
All right, tell me more.
Okay, well, let's deal with the first thing when you say with the amphetamines that were in his system. That could be a lot of things. It doesn't, I know you're saying upper, but it could be anything from Adderall.
Right.
It could be like Ritalin, anything that you could be prescribed for most commonly from ADHD.
Right.
Or I doubt it for him, but even if someone's on weight loss, if they're like on an Adipix or something like that, that would show up as an amphetamine. And most of those are going to be prescribed to you.
I know what Adderall is. So Adderall, like, let's face it, is basically it's an upper, it's speed, and the college kids take it. Not only they take it to stay up all night and study, and it helps their attention span. Is that about right?
Correct, but it's the same thing as some of the school kids who are going to be on Ritalin as well. That would show up. You know, some of those would show up as amphetamines as well. But the one thing I want to make sure, it doesn't mean that he was on all these things at once. Okay, for instance, if I give you an Adderall and you can have it 3 weeks ago, it would still show up on your toxicology. It's not the urine drug cup that you would get, like, at a point of care in the doctor's office.
Right.
We're talking about things that are going to be sent off. it doesn't mean you're on all these things at the same time. So I want to clarify that. But so a lot of things can show up as amphetamines.
Right.
Like I say, weight loss agents or anything.
Okay, so explain to me. All right, so fair enough, because I'm not really that worried about, I'll be honest with you, I said this earlier, I'm not that worried about the amphetamines or the Ambien, to be honest with you. A million people take that. What I want to know about is, because he had said, Carver High had said, well, we don't know where, what the, you know, there's certain morphine and certain
right.
oxycodones and the like. I want to know exactly what you believe we can get morphine in.
Okay. Okay, as far as with the morphine, it's going to be a metabolite from, it would probably be coming from any of the pain medications like Vicodin or Norco, anything that has hydrocodone or anything that has oxycodone in there. And it could actually be coming from a pain pill that is actually a form of morphine, whether it's an extended release morphine or immediate release morphine. All those would require a prescription from a physician, but it doesn't mean that he had to have had it right when he was flying. If you had it 2 weeks ago, sir, it's still going to show up positive on the toxicology. So it doesn't mean that he was high on it right then.
All right, so awesome. Hey, Reggie, I appreciate you clearing this all up for me, brother. Thank you very much. So we'll come back. I have to keep on track here because I got Marcus Allen from Penn State, the senior safety, coming up on a bench next.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
Marcus Allen, flush badass, Penn State. You saw what he did on the football field. I mean, this is one of the best players they've ever had in Happy Valley. All time, only six guys have ever had over 300-plus tackles in Penn State Nittany Lion history. This guy loves to eat the football. He's all over the football field. He's going pro, lock, stock, and barrel. They're drooling over this kid, a Maryland kid from Marlboro, Maryland. And he did J school at Penn State, of all things, unless I'm mistaken. So, like, he's got skills, too, broadcasting skills. Marcus, my man, thanks for coming on the bench.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you for having me.
So, is that true? Do you want to do a little broadcasting when you're done making all that money in the NFL?
Yes, definitely. That's definitely my interest.
How was J school at Penn State? I went to J school at Indiana University, also in the Big Ten. They got a great broadcasting and journalism school there. And then I went there. I did the Bob Knight show when I was a kid in college, that crazy old basketball coach cussing and screaming and yelling at people. And then 35 years later, here I am in New York, all over the place.
Right, right. I mean, I loved it, man. I like it a lot. My favorite professor was P.J. Mullen. He was a great teacher. He explained everything well. He gave us a lot of tools to just use in, like, broadcast journalism. So I appreciate him for all that.
Did you find that it came in handy when you had all those mics in your face every week and every Saturday afternoon when you were playing ball?
Oh, definitely. It definitely came in handy. That's part of the reason why I wanted to do broadcast journalism. Just because, like, getting all those interviews and stuff and guys asking me questions, and I just wanted to, like, change the game, kind of, like, you know, make it more, like, down-to-earth, more relatable type. That's the reason why I really wanted to do it.
You know, Marcus Allen with his Penn State safety, getting ready for the draft in the spring. He's, I guess your godfather is Curtis Martin, so I know Curtis because I grew up in Pittsburgh, and I used to watch him play at Pitt. And then how about that guy going straight HOF son Canton?
Uh-huh.
I mean, how did you end up with him as a godfather? How great is that?
Of course, it's awesome. You know, him and my father go back. My father's from Homewood, Pittsburgh. They grew up together as kids, and, you know, their relationship was so tight that he made him my godfather. And he, you know, Kurt just gives nothing but wisdom and, like, great tips on how to, like, handle myself on and off the field.
Well, listen, I love your game and everything, but I got to tell you, growing up in Pittsburgh, if I would have known that your dad grew up in Pittsburgh and then you waddled off to Penn State and blew off the Panthers, I might have had to slap you upside the head.
I know, I understand. you understand, I got a lot of family in Pittsburgh. So, you know, my ties in Pittsburgh is tight. My grandmother, grandfather, all my cousins and stuff, they're all from Pittsburgh. So it's like my ties with them are very strong. So I got love for Pittsburgh a lot.
I would love to see you get drafted by the Steelers. I think that would be crazy. I know you love playing against them, too. I think I watched you this year play against them, and you looked like a rabid dog out there. I think you had, it was crazy. You must have had 15 tackles in that game. You were all over the football field. Do you get, like, extra jack to play them or something?
I get jack for any game, you know, like in coming out of, Beaver Stadium gates and just having the fans roaring and screaming your name. It's just exciting. But, you know, what's funny is Jordan Whitehead is right here, and he played with Pitt, you know, and it's just funny that he's right here and you're talking about Pitt. But playing against Pitt, I get excited as well because, you know, my family's from there. And my grandmother, you know, she passed away last year.
Sorry.
But she was supposed to come to the Pittsburgh game, and she didn't get to make it. So, like, anytime I play Pitt or any team, I just play with that passion and emotion, you know, just doing it for her and my family.
So I saw everything there. I saw your godfather play there. I saw Tony Dorsett play there. I saw Hugh Green play there. I saw Dan Marino play there. I saw Siragusa play there. And then I saw your friend there. I'm a Canes fan. I've always loved it, Miami Canes. I saw your boy you're hanging out with tonight ruin my Canes season. So give him one of these where he sneezes.
I got you. I just thought he can hear you right now.
Oh, that killed me. That ever since, you know, when Pitt beat him on that Friday after Thanksgiving, their season went to hell in a bucket faster than you could spit after that. The Clemson game got worse. The bowl game with Wisconsin was my worst nightmare. I blame your friend. What's his name again?
Jordan Whitehead.
Hey, Whitehead, you ruined my season, son!
You heard him. He said, my bad.
Listen, son, I'll let you go this time. All right, so let's get down to business. I want to know, seriously, because I've been there for a million games, right? I partied up at Penn State a million times, being that I grew up there. So I've seen every great game in the history of that place. You name it, Pitt-Penn State, they ruined that rivalry. They should have been playing that game for, like, eternity. They should have played that game for eternity. But tell people all over North America what it's like, because you had mentioned coming out of the tunnel at Beaver Stadium. There is nothing. I there's only about five places I can compare to that place when they white out and there's like a buck 5,000, like, man, strong, going crazy, sipping beers and getting all loud and wild for a Beaver game. It's insane.
It's definitely insane, man. Just you talking about it and describing it in that light is just giving me goosebumps now. It's like you'll never get that feeling again. So, like, I try to cherish every moment going out there and just play my heart out. So, you know, that every game I go out there, I just think about the fans, my family, and just who I do it for. So, like, just you saying that just makes me want to go out there one more time.
Yeah, you played that Fiesta Bowl, son. You were a freak in that game. That was a great bowl game. I thought some of the bowl games were trash, but that was one of my favorite games. I thought that was a really tight game, fun to watch, and that was a really good team you beat. They were in the, you know, playoff the year before. That was a great game, and you got the MVP of the game. You went off with, I think, six solos in that game. That had to feel good to go out with a bang like that for your boys.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. You know, coming into that game, I had a chip on my shoulder. My team had a chip on our shoulder because of the L we took in the Rose Bowl. And we just made sure we made it an emphasis on, like, getting this W. You know, I wanted to go out with a bang, get a W for my last game, and just do it for one last time with my brothers. And everybody made that, you know, a fact. You know, so everybody wanted to do that for each other. So when we went out there and played our heart out, it was just great. It was a great ending.
Marcus Allen at Penn State, what was it like practicing against Barkley? Because he's such a freak and talent and badass. That had to have made you a better football player, just being a brother and practicing with him.
Yeah, man. You know, Saquon, like, I'm really close with him. One thing about Saquon, he definitely gets you better, you know, on and off the field. I learned so much from that guy. You know, far as football, he gets you better far as, like, everything, you know, helping you with your tackling, you know, giving you tips on what you could have done this play or that play, and vice versa. I help him as well. So far as our relationship, it's beyond, you know, football. You know, that's I consider him, like, really my brother.
So how stoked are you for the draft? I can't wait to see you get drafted. I know you're going to get a great gig. I know you got a lot of people pulling for you, your sisters, your brother, your dad, your mom. Everybody's going to be there for you, all your friends, your teammates. You got to be just absolutely freaking out. I mean, what a moment in your life. You'll never forget this.
Right, man. I'm ecstatic. I've been wanting to do this and, like, make this happen my whole life. You know, I could give you a scenario and a little story that I have. When I was, like, 10 years old or 11 years old, I wrote, you know, Marcus Allen is going to go to the NFL, like, underneath my bed, you know, and I carved that in my bed set, and I just made sure that I did whatever I could and, like, anything extra I could do to just reach my goal. Like, that was my life goal, you know, is to make it to the NFL. And I'm not going to stop for anyone. That's my goal. So just being in this process right now is, like, outstanding and humbling. So I'm truly blessed, and I thank God for the position that I'm in now. And, you know, I just can't wait, and I'm definitely grinding out here.
Who did you sign with? Your boy Saquon went with Jay-Z. You should have pimped up with Jay-Z, son.
No, you went with Roc Nation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm happy for him. Yeah, that was his decision, and it was a good decision for him. But I signed with Paramount with Sonny Shaw.
Oh, yeah, that's huge. Hey, so tell me the background with what is that? I love your handle, Chico Hendrix. Like, that is so fresh. What is that about? Is that Jimi Hendrix? What do you got rocking there, son?
I got that from Future, the rapper Future. You know how he go, like, Future Hendrix?
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, he was doing I got that from him.
That's so fresh.
Like, so, yeah, in high school, everybody was, like, you know, nicknamed me kind of like Chico. So I ran with that, and I was like a little Vine sensation back then. And at first it was Chico A on Vine. So I had to mix it up. I had to change it up. So I changed it to that, but, and that's what it is now and currently is.
Well, listen, last question, Mobile next week, Senior Bowl. Are you excited about that?
Oh, definitely. I'm definitely excited. I'm ready to compete, show these GMs, all these NFL teams what I can do, you know, show them any doubt that they have in me. I'm just going to just show them what I can do and just, you know, make the best of it. I'm truly blessed to be in this position right here to go out there with the Senior Bowl. A million guys would die for this position. I'm just honored and humbled for that.
Hey, listen, you deserve it, bro. You're one of the best players in the country. Everybody knows it. This is your time. This is your chance. I know you're just going to explode and go off. I'll be pulling for you and rooting for you forever for the rest of your career. Good luck on the red carpet at the draft, and have fun at the Senior Bowl. Stay healthy. Do the right thing. Be smart. Don't do anything stupid. And and get paid. And you'll be set for life. And good luck in the NFL. I hope you go to the Steelers. But I'll be pulling for you wherever you end up. Thanks for coming on the bench on CBS Sports Radio, brother.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate your time.
All right. Tell my boy over there from Pitt I love him, too, even though he screwed up my Kane season.
He heard. You heard it.
All right, you guys. All the best. God bless. Be cool.
All right, God bless.
Thanks. All right, there he is. How about that kid, Marcus Allen? He's sharp, huh? They call him Chico Hendrix on Twitter, @Chico_Hendrix. Senior safety, Penn State, getting ready for the Senior Bowl in Mobile next week.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
I just wanted to let you know, Mafia, that I've been in here gambling heavily all night, getting ready for the big day in college basketball tomorrow. A slew of matchups that I'm focusing, zeroing in on.
I'm getting ready for all the fight sports tomorrow.
Yeah, there's massive action.
MMA cards, one boxing match. We got it all going.
So the MMA is the Bellator Grand Prix heavyweight tournament, and then the UFC is what?
UFC is UFC 220. Got two title fights in that. And the Bellator's also got the McDonald and Douglas Lima title fight that should have been headlining that they moved down.
So all those picks will be up on PharrellOnTheBench.com. There's no better place in handicapping or anywhere in the world to go for winners than PharrellOnTheBench.com. Everybody knows it. It's that simple. We rock. We set the standard. We're the best. Boom. AFC, NFC title game. Money lines and spreads are up for Mini Philly, Jacks, New England. And then you got all the games for Saturday in the NBA, all the games in the NHL, and all the great college basketball games on Saturday. And, I mean, they are just endless. So you're going to want to get in on the snags. PharrellOnTheBench.com, you got, as we mentioned, UFC, Bellator, Spence and Peterson, great fights, great MMA, daily fantasy rosters. It's all at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. You're going to love it. All right. So, what did you think of that kid, Marcus Allen, Mafia?
Thought he was great. Had a good personality. He's, very humble and just excited to be where he's at in life and ready for the draft. I think he's going to do a great job.
So, coming up at the top of the hour, allegedly, our good friend Kane Peterson, the legendary rock DJ from New York, huge Viking fan. We're going to hook up with him. Hopefully, he's going to come downstairs and do the show with us and talk about his Vikings. So going back to the fight, though, that I'm interested in and you're interested in, those two fights, basically the Stipe fight and the Cormier fight, right? Those are tomorrow night. Who do you think those are going to be great fights? Ngannou, is that his name?
Everybody's, yeah, Francis Ngannou.
Everybody's talking about that guy. Your boys out here, Ike and company, the Outside the Cage show here at CBS, they had that Ngannou guy in here the other night. What do you think of that fight?
I think it's going to be a very interesting fight. It could be, one that could end quickly or one that could drag on because, the heavyweight division is so thin right now. Stipe has gone through everybody they had. So Ngannou probably shouldn't have gotten a title shot just yet, but he's gotten a lot of hype around him because he got a little big flashy knockouts. He took out Overeem at the end of last year to get the knockout of the year. So that's going to propel you up there. And since there's no one else in front of him, he jumps right to the front of the line. He's got a lot of power. He's a big, strong, guy that could really take your head off. But Stipe is a guy that's fought bigger guys before. He has no problem doing it. He hasn't fought in a year, but almost a year, but he has that boxing, that Golden Gloves boxing mentality. He has that jab that's just nasty and puts people on their butts. So it could be a very interesting fight. He also has the wrestling that we don't see too much. So we'll have to see if maybe he uses that to nullify Ngannou's big power.
Wow, that's going to be great. Where is that's in Boston.
That's in Boston. And then your boy Cormier is fighting as well, defending his belt.
How do you think he'll do? Hasn't it been a while? And he's been through so much with Bone Jones and everything after he got busted doing drugs.
Yeah, his last fight was the loss to Jones, but he gets his title back because Jones got busted for PEDs again for the second time.
Do people respect it, that he's the champ? I really don't think so.
They don't. Even though he won four times before Jones came around for the second fight, people don't respect him. They kind of think that he just got it because Bone Jones isn't there, and that's not fair to him. He wasn't the one that gave him drugs. Jones took that stuff himself. He's the one that's, bashed his own career into the ground. So he's just done everything he can while he was not there, put everybody that they put in front of him, he's beaten them. So now he faces a guy that's a lot of hype as well, and Ozdemir, the guy from Sweden, a good striker. He beat out Jimmy Manuel, who people thought was going to be the next in line. So he put him down and kind of shocked the world there, and now he gets the title fight. He's a good striker. Cormier could take some shots. He's getting up there in age, so I don't know what his chin has left. But he has that great wrestling to nullify guys that want to just beat him up. So we'll see if he can walk through some big shots and put him on the ground.
Now, Carver High, will you be watching any of these fights? Are you interested in any of that or the Bellator Grand Prix heavyweight? Is that on pay-per-view or is that on Spike?
No, that is on the Paramount Network.
Oh, is that a new channel that no one's ever
heard
of?
Spike has rebranded as Paramount Network as of this week. So
it's not even Spike anymore?
No longer Spike Network. It's now the Paramount Network.
Really?
Yeah,
who owns
channel,
it? Does Viacom own that still?
Yeah, they just renamed it.
Why did they do that?
No idea.
Marketing.
Well, I think, wasn't Spike pretty cool?
I think that's a lot cooler, especially if you can do things like fight sports and, you know, the bar shows. Well, and
maybe they're
like
moving
that.
Away from that.
Maybe they're just doing Paramount Network. Sounds like a movie studio to
yeah,
me.
It sounds like they're just going to play movies. But they're not. They're going to play fights. And you have the card. This was supposed
maybe they'll
to be,
do some of those bad MMA movies they put out.
Maybe. A lot of your boy Bisping's movies out there.
Oh, his movies are terrible.
I think I might throw the UFC and the other thing on downstairs. I have to, you know, downstairs I got the two TVs, so I might pick two of them and put them on tomorrow.
You might be rocking a little of that action.
Yeah.
You know who your boy Stipe eats at Andiamo?
Is that right?
Oh, he loves it there. He's been caught in there red-handed with a tomahawk in hand. We're a week away from that, son.
I can't decide.
I may call there tomorrow and make a reservation. What's our guy's name, Ken?
That's correct.
We got to make a phone call tomorrow, Carver.
Stipe was eating there. Was it last year at the Super Bowl? Like he was in there when we were there?
We were there. We, in fact.
Last year, it might have been 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago, I think they had the card in Vegas.
We should call there tonight while we're here. It's like 8:50 out there right now. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
We should call there tonight and post up. We get in at 6. Do you think, what, like a little 8:45?
Yeah, I think sometime between 8 and 9.
Like the last seating at 8:45, maybe?
As long as our ride is there when we land and we get there.
I'm sure it will be. As long as there's no complications. There'd be more of a complication factor in this end, in Jersey.
Right.
Because we don't know what the weather will be like. This weekend would have been perfect. It's supposed to be 50s.
We'll be fine.
Next weekend, it could be a blizzard, for
no,
all we know.
That's not happening.
So you're good to go. You think we're going to get out? No problem.
No problem whatsoever.
Boom.
Let's just get me to Andiamo that night.
Can That's you believe it. That a week from now we'll be in Vegas?
At this time next week, we'll really be getting it going.
Oh, Michael, what are the odds you'll never go back to New York?
It's always at least like 30%. So there's always an opportunity.
Pharrell, you've always sniffed at the fact that you wanted to live in Vegas again and not go back to that hellhole you live and work in with their double tolls now for driving in the city. Carver Hyde, you hear what the governor's doing to us?
No, I did not.
So let me be brief. In 2020, so what they're doing right now, right, Mavi? They're voting in the state house, right? That they're putting in a new plan for congestion pricing to get people to stop coming to New York City and driving in the city, all the congestion. They're going to charge double the tolls. So, in other words, if you're paying, what do we pay now, like, to come into the city at night? 11, 12 bucks? This is going to be what, Mafia? Didn't you say 11 and a quarter to drive in the city? 11.50 to drive below 60th. So if you come to the city every night and it's, what is it, 11 at the gate? What is it, 11 at the bridge? Or how much do you pay to come over into the city?
Zero.
Oh, so from the Midtown, it's nothing?
I don't take the Midtown tunnel.
How do you come in?
The Williamsburg Bridge.
And there's no toll at all?
No toll there.
You pay no tolls to come into the city?
I no, the Williamsburg Bridge does not have a toll.
What do we pay, Mafia?
11.
So we'd be paying another 11.50 on top of the
now,
11.
There
and
is,
that's
if,
BS.
If there's a little bit of, if there's a bad traffic situation, then I would go to the Midtown Tunnel, which is like $5 after easy pay.
Okay, so did you know that now, no matter where you come from, you're going to pay 11.50 to drive around here at nighttime? In 2020, they're going to charge you to drive down here.
If you're going back to Jersey.
No, if you're in the city, no matter what, if you're below 60th, you're paying 11.50 to drive starting in 2020. They're going to have a congestion plan. They're paying $1.5 billion a year for the subway system to fix the subways, and they're doing it by jacking, double-jacking the rates to come into the city in a car. It's even worse for trucks and like, you name it. It's bad. And ask Mafia, am I kidding? I'm not even joking.
I'm not joking at all. It's legit. That's what's happening. They're going to gouge us some more. Squeeze more blood from the stone.
I want to kill myself. Mark in Boston on the Hub. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, Pharrell? I'm a first-time caller, a long-time listener. I
cool.
love your show, man.
Thanks, dude.
No problem. So I want to talk about the Jackson Pats this week, obviously, calling from Boston. So I think that the trend has been, as the week gets deeper, more people are thinking the Jags are going to upset the Patriots. I just don't think so. I think that a lot of people think that Jalen Ramsey is going to eliminate Gronk. The only person that could even cover Gronk one-on-one is Aqib Talib, and he controlled him. I would not say eliminate by any means. And also, a lot of the Jaguars' talent on defense is on the outside, while the Patriots' offense mostly operates from the inside. And one more thing, Doug Marrone's interviews this week. I don't know if you guys listened to them. Pretty ridiculous, though. Doug Marrone was asked if he's seen any of the Tom Coughlin Patriots games in the Super Bowls. Said he hasn't even watched them. And then he also was asked about the red zone. This was on Tuesday or Wednesday, I think. He was asked about the Patriots' red zone defense, and he said that he will focus on that on Thursday. I just don't understand this guy. He's, like, not even in tune with the fact that
he's meanwhile, Belichick knows every single thing they're going to do. He's already probably played the game 10,000 times in his head, and he's going to chew and spit that guy out like candy. You know what's going to happen in that football game on Sunday. Everyone in Boston knows what's going to happen. Just stop. Go have brunch. Crack a 12-pack. Sit back. Roll.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.